minutes late. I'll wait for the next 10 minutes. After 15 minutes, we will decide what to do. Thank you. Mine is 20 minutes after 10. On the 5th of August. Am I right? Let me take this opportunity as I open this meeting to welcome all the honorable members back from a short break. I hope it was a good rest, but I know that most of you were with your constituencies. It might not have been a rest as we thought of. But it was very important that we keep in touch with our constituencies on the various issues which we have done thus far, though it's not a very long period we've been here. And hope that you're coming back invigorated to take the challenges head on and to take the nation forward. So, those are the few words of welcoming you back into the committee. I might need some guidance in terms of the rules and even what is conventional. And as I'm doing that, I'm starting to look at that side. To the old houses in this parliament as to Babu Skosana. Mama, how you need to guide us as to what normally happens. We are supposed to be 14 members, according to the list, because Honorable Olomisa is an alternate, according to what I have. So we're supposed to be 14 full members. And if it's 50 plus 1, the quorum is 8. 2 for 6. Are we 6 or 7? We're 7. We're running short of one person. I need guidance. I was just trying to ask the secretary of the committee as to what happens. There are two possibilities. We take the reports. Maybe we hope that the quorum, ultimately, we might make it in the process. But there's nothing we can adopt if you don't have a quorum. Or we take it that the meeting will just receive the reports and we call a proper meeting to adopt those which we might have received. But I need your guidance. If we're talking about the rules of a quorum, if we stick to that, but what is normally conventional, you must tell us, because people have come here. It's not that easy to organize another time. People are involved in a number of committees. But I just need your views and your guidance. Honorable Mahalati.
No.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I agree with you that if we are not going to take any binding decisions, then we do not need that quorum. We can do what you are saying, that we can simply receive the reports and leave, or we can receive the briefing, the information, and to discuss the information amongst ourselves and not take any binding decisions. Perhaps, as you say, somebody will come in while we're discussing. And if there are decisions to be taken, then you can revert back to your quorum. But I don't think it would go well for people to come and sit here and then simply take the reports and leave. It's going to reflect badly on the committee. In fact, you may find this in the papers tomorrow. So I think if somebody comes in to make the Quran, let's do that. But if not, then I think it's proper for us to receive the briefing, discuss the report, and if we're not going to take any binding decisions on the parties or on the committee itself.
Thank you, Mr. The name is Mukhalaf. Sorry, I don't like that name. I do agree with the Honorable Kosana, but I was going to make a suggestion. Noting that we have a workshop on the 11th and the 12th, and hoping that the rest of the members will be there, wouldn't that be appropriate that we share with everybody this report, plus also anything else that you're going to do in that workshop? I think to just include everything as a package. Just thinking aloud, Chair.
Chairperson, the other full-time member on behalf of the group of nine smaller parties is Reverend Meshwe. If he cannot be there, then General Olamisa, if he's an alternate, will become a full-time member for purposes of the committee. He can stand in for him, and I don't know if he's available. That's the first thing. The second thing is, do we have apologies on behalf of the other seven members that we know that we cannot expect them to pitch up? If we do not have apologies, I suggest that we try to find one or two of them. I would like to see that we continue with our work.
The apologies I have are four. From Honorable Pilesa Muswane, Honorable Olamisa, Honorable Mishwe, and Honorable Manana. Those are the four apologies I have. We were given the information that Magama is on his way. That's the information which we had, which then says once he is there, we would be able to move with the suggestion by Honorable Skosana, that as soon as we were correcting, we will continue. In any case, these are also process issues. Some of them are being referred, even by the agenda, as Honorable Mu is saying, they are going to be dealt with, some of the issues, at the work. If there are outstanding issues, we would be able to deal with them there, or they need us to refer them to that particular forum. And yes. The other members, I know the problem is the clash with the other committees. I know that, for instance, Honorable Mampetha seems to be taking some responsibility in public works in the absence of a chairperson there. I think there are a lot of committees which are clashing and so on, which have made people not to be here. But I would like to propose formally that, seeing that we're not correcting, we will continue receiving the report. I want you to underline that, receiving the reports. If we need to adopt these reports, it will depend on whether at that time we do have the quorum. If we do not have the quorum, we will refer them just for tabling in another meeting, in the form of in that workshop, where we can formalize it into a formal meeting, table those reports and adopt them, but would have already received those reports. Can we agree on that? Can you write it formally that we're receiving these reports, but in case we correct in the process, we will therefore have to adopt them if there's a need for any adoption. Thank you very much for that. I've already indicated the apologies. Can we adopt these apologies, four of them? Thank you. You have this agenda, starting from 3 up to 5. There are
two items for consideration: the legacy report, the five-year review report. And on number four, in preparation for those two big meetings, we want to give some information. We want to give some information on those two meetings and take some quick decisions. In fact, some information should have gone yesterday in relation to number B, but we said let's wait for this particular meeting. Is there any other issue, honorable members, you'd like to put on into the agenda? Honorable Kurenu.
Chairperson, we've been supplied with a draft program. I just want to inquire whether the draft program should be on this program or for next week for consideration. Some way we have to put the program together for the committee.
Number four, we'll deal with that particular issue. Can I just add some information on number four, which we slipped out? Can we put it as C, the AU declaration in relation to a topical issue of al-Bashir, because there's a declaration which is a public declaration. Thank you. Can we adopt this agenda? It's moved by Honorable Makhaladi and seconded by Makhalapa. 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 And seconded by Honorable Makhal. Yes, the Khikhis. Let's move to 3A, the legacy report. I've been told again, that's a convention, that staff members in the committee give the information. They give the factual information. The debate is ours. So we have requested a person, a staff member who was part of this committee the past 5 years, by the name of Ms. Dineo Martin, House Dineo, who was the secretary of this committee, but she's no more working for this committee. We must emphasize that, but we had to request her to come and help us, to give us just a summary in terms of what I'm proposing to the committee, how we run with this report. She makes a presentation, Ms. Martin. We take 10 minutes just on clarity if we want to, then 10 minutes discussing, we're done with that report. Can we agree along those lines? Ms. Martin, the floor is yours. Are you using a bioscope? Okay. You're referring us to which paper, by the way?
The legacy report.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, members.
Are all the members having it? Thank you.
Chairperson, just for clarity's sake, I was not with the committee for the past 5 years. I started with the committee in January 2008,
wow.
Until the end of term for the third parliament. I will start with the functions of the committee, although I will not outline them, as you have got copies in front of you. I will go straight to page 2. bullet number 5, the number of meetings held. In 2004, the committee held 15 meetings, 2005, 6 meetings, 2006, 17 meetings, and 2007, 29 meetings, 2008, 17 meetings. Foreign Affairs Committee, the practice was that there were no legislations referred to the committee until in 2008, when the Diplomatic Immunities and Privileges Amendment Bill was referred to the committee. The committee dealt with the diplomatic immunities. It was finalized and adopted by the committee on the 30th of July, 2008. And the report was published on the 31st of July, 2008. The oversight trips undertaken by the committee, there were none in 2004, none in 2005, none in 2006. Chairperson, I would like to correct a mistake on 2007, where it says 6-7 August 2008, the committee went to Pretoria. It is 2007, not 2008. The committee went to oversee the status of the officers in Pretoria. If I can explain, the Department of Foreign Affairs indicated to the committee that they were building the new offices for the department. So in 2007, when they went there, the building was not yet built. The report of that visit was adopted on the 19th of September 2007. In October 2007, the delegation of the committee went to Johannesburg for the IPSA summit. IPSA stands for India, Brazil, and South Africa, where the three countries meet. So the report of that visit was adopted on the 14th of May 2008, 86. On the 20th of May 2008. There were no study tours undertaken in 2004, none again in 2005. There were two trips in 2006. The other one was where the committee went to Sudan, the other one in Brazil, where again it was its summit. The report for Sudan was adopted on the 28th of February 2007, 86 on the 13th of June 2007. The Brazil report was adopted on the 28th of February 2007, 86 on the 21st of June 2007. In 2007, there was no international trip undertaken. Another trip was taken in 2008, where the committee went to Western Sahara and Algeria. The report was adopted on the 22nd of October 2008, 86 on the 14th of November 2008. Again, the committee visited Israel, Palestine, and Syria in 2008. The report was adopted on the 22nd of October 2008 and published on the 18th of November 2008. There was no international agreements before the committee in 2004, none in 2005, none in 2006 and 2007. There was an international agreement in 2008, the Treaty of Partnership and Friendship between the Republic of South Africa and Russian Federation. And the report was 22nd of October 2008. I will skip the point 10, 11, and 11, and I'll go to number 12, where it says any particular challenges relating to the committee exercising of its mandate. The changes of parliamentary program resulting in reduced time for committee period during which oversight would normally take place results in limited provincial oversight by the portfolio committee. The outstanding issues that the committee never dealt with, can I go bullet by bullet here and explain? Briefing by the Department of Foreign Affairs on the latest developments with regard to Zimbabwe, there were several meetings that were cancelled in regard to this topic, but there was one incident where the ambassador to Zimbabwe came and briefed the committee in regard to the situation in Zimbabwe. What happened after that meeting was that the MDC also requested to come and brief the committee because they believed that the committee should hear both sides of the story, I'll say, but it never happened. That meeting was cancelled. Point number two, visit to the new premises of the Department of Foreign Affairs. We assumed then that the building would now be finished, where maybe the committee will visit to go and see the status of those officers. Number three, follow-up briefing on the annual report of the Department of Foreign Affairs for 2007-2008. What happened last year, Chairperson, is that the committee dealt with the annual report of the Department of Foreign Affairs, but due to time constraints, we never finished the report for 2007-2008. And unfortunately, there was no other date given for the committee to finish that report because of the preparations for the elections. Point number four, follow-up briefing by the Department of Foreign Affairs on the relations between South Africa and China in the last 10 years. The committee held we called it a summit then. We held that, what's it, a summit? What did you call it? Chairperson. We held that meeting where the department was briefing us on the relations between South Africa and China, and we invited the ambassador of China as well. What happened is that the department indicated that there were issues that they wanted to bring before the committee, but they could not on that day because the ambassador of China was there. So they requested a closed meeting. That never took place in the last parliament. Point number five, briefing by the Department of Foreign Affairs on the location of Africa Institute. The committee in 2008, they never dealt with that. So that is outstanding as well. Briefing by the Department of Foreign Affairs on the engagement of the Portfolio Committee on Foreign Affairs into the diplomatic functions hosted by the Minister of Foreign Affairs. What happened is that last year, there were other functions that the minister was hosting, where you find that the committee is not invited, or maybe the invitation comes last minute, and find that the committee members could not attend. So the department needs to come before the committee and maybe explain. The last bullet, the committee to discuss the involvement of the committee on the appointment or approval on the appointment of diplomats. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks very much, Mr. Martin. That was a crisp report. Straightforward to the issues. Any question of clarity? Yes, Honorable Mohu.
Yes, Chair. Just wanted to, on the last page, the first part of that, changes to parliamentary program resulting in a reduced time for committee period during which oversight would normally take place, resulting in limited provincial oversight. I want to understand what that means. Do we have provincial oversight or what? For the portfolio committee, I'd like to get clarity on that. And then the last one, the last bullet under 13, the committee to discuss the involvement of the committee in the appointment or approvals on the appointment. It is appointment of South African diplomats abroad. Thank you.
Yes, Danielle.
Yes, Honourable Member, the committee do visit the provincial. They do have an oversight role to play in the province. Although, the only ever since when I checked all the annual reports of foreign affairs, the only provincial visit that normally takes place in this committee is to head office in Pretoria.
Maybe the question is on what issue? What are these issues which would link us to the province? And Honorable Babuskosan was saying.
Yes, I just wanted to also, because I think the problem was trying to introduce public diplomacy, where the committee ought to go to the provinces and begin to dialogue with the people about what foreign relations, in fact, are. I will never miss that, Honorable Makhalapa.
Well, you missed it with an O and an A. I think it's just English semantics. You are a teacher, so an O and an A are different. Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to ask on the issue of the study tours. I see on several years there was no study tours undertaken. Does that mean, was it because of budget constraints or that there were no issues? Because of how best do you relate to the world if you don't learn according to them. So I just want to find out, was it due to budget constraints or that there were no simply issues or the committee wasn't interested in international issues?
Chairperson, I'm sure Ms. Mahal can answer that question.
Okay, Chairperson, let me assist. The committee has always had interest to visit, especially in areas where the department was doing work in as far as implementing our foreign policy relations. The problem that the committee was confronted with was that the conventions that are applying here in this institution is that study tours are always granted or preference is given to committees that have to go and study something that will have an impact on the legislation that they want to introduce. So unfortunately, the committee finds itself having not dealing with the legislation. Therefore, on numerous occasions, applications for study tours were always turned down.
Applications for trips were always turned down, not for study tours. Okay. Okay, let me just check also from my side. On number 7, it's a bit glaring that from 2004 to 2007, there was no legislation at all. All these years. But I thought that South Africa has always been very prominent in this field of international relations. And to me, what I also take as part of the legislation endorsements of Ackerman. Once you bring them into parliament, it means those they become legislation once they've been endorsed by parliament. Or maybe here you're talking about legislation in the strict sense. But what about agreements? Because that's part of the work of this parliament. Where were you dealing with those agreements? Or were some of the agreements not coming into parliament at all? And then it raises a question to the members who have been part of this committee, in particular Makgau and Babu Skhosana. What agreements come here? What agreements do not come here? Maybe as part of our orientation workshop, would be able to deal with those issues. Yes, Danielle.
Chairperson, some of the agreements that are referred to the committees, you find that other agreements are just for information purposes. They are not for the committee to be dealt with and report on. So I would take for granted that maybe this other past years there were agreements that were referred to the committee, but just for information purposes.
Chairperson, in addition, as you would recall that Dineo said she didn't start with the committee from 2004, and perhaps some of the information maybe might have been lost somewhere, because I remember and know that at some point, the committee was busy with some constitutive act. I'm not sure, we were not starting the process, the one that was establishing your PAP and all these, the enactment of other bodies of the PAP, the committee at some point, whilst I was here from 2004, maybe Honorable Skhosana will remind me when, we dealt with a number of those pieces of legislation relating to that act.
Thank you for that clarity, and I think we've come to the end of this particular report. As we have already agreed, we will note that report.
Yes, the point was raised by my colleague here on on the last bullet there.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Now, simply going to say that here, we at times we are seized with problems when the department reports about the foreign missions. Then there would be reports about conflicts and misconduct in certain missions by our own officials. And now, when it was brought here, then I think the committee then felt that no, we need to know from the beginning what is happening, so that we can provide some philosophical and moral input into the conduct of some of those officials in the foreign missions, not to be landed with a problem already there that some had to be sacked, some had to be recalled, and so on. And we needed to now to endorse some of those things. So we want, that is why I think this came up, that we wanted to know the whole process. And the committee should be involved in really, you know, just like in the Justice Commission, which looks at the potential judges and then all those people, and even interview them, and even they engage those potential judges so that you know who you're sending there, and not to be landed with a problem of a person afterwards.
Yes.
Chair, Honorable. You had said earlier that I asked a question about, I think I asked a question about this report being incorporated into the workshop program. You had indicated that there will be some issues that might come out in there. I'm looking at the number 13. The first bullet, on the...
Oh, okay.
On the briefing on Zimbabwe. I was just going to ask you, how urgent do we need to consider some of these items? Because I had the privilege of going on a tour in Zimbabwe last week under my party. If you looked at the Star yesterday, there's a whole page of a report on that, which we just compiled with my colleague. And, of course, in the recent days, Prime Minister Shon Zaire was here. He met the president and discussed some of those issues relating to Zimbabwe. I'm of the view that I think this is a very urgent matter that we need to address as soon as possible, Chair. As a committee, in conjunction with the Department of International Relations Corporation, because the situation is dire in Zimbabwe. And we're sitting here not being on the spot. We cannot really just begin to understand the magnitude of the problem in Zimbabwe. So I think I would like to appeal to you, Chair, that as soon as possible we should have this kind of briefing and put the Department of International Relations Corporation to talk about what's going on in Zimbabwe as with regard to our government's stance on Zimbabwe.
Honorable Coronel.
President, thank you. The report is in front of us. Can I propose that we take note of this report with great appreciation of the work done by the previous committee and the staff members and for producing this report? I don't know if we have to adopt it with a quorum or we can just take note of the report, and then the matters outstanding will definitely, as we said now, need to be followed up in the new fourth term of Parliament, I propose.
We have a principle which we have agreed to at the beginning. The thing that we don't have a quorum, we will just receive. We have received the report. We will note this report. But there are issues which need further debate. Certainly, in the program of the workshop, we will be dealing with these issues. And also, as we engage with the Zimbabwean report, there will be individual or different perspectives which people are having. But we might also, as an institution, need to get an official report from the ministry in terms of the agreement, because that should be our premise. We have an agreement. How is that agreement being implemented? What are the successes and the failures in terms of that agreement? What are the obstacles and so on and so on? I think then, and that workshop is in how many days' time according to our plan? It's next to Tuesday, so it's not very far. The agents of those issues, I think in a week's time, would have put them, so they are already in our agenda. All those issues which are outstanding would need to make a follow-up. Can we make that item to rest at that level? Then we go into the second item, 3B. The 5-year, let me also before that, thank you very much, Ms. Martin. This was indeed a nice report for us. We've been able just to say what are the issues. Thank you very much. I would not get into your battles with Bulelo. Can we go into 3B, the 5-year review? We are going to be led by the content and the researcher. Yes, the researcher, Mpo, is leading us on this one. Now he's refusing to review.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members, I thank you for this opportunity to make this briefing for you. By way of introduction, as has been said, I'm Paul Mashaba. I'm the researcher for the committee. I've been with the committee since October 2007. So I'm approaching 2 years at Parliament, and it's been quite a ride. And I was basically, during the previous term, the committee was divided into two subcommittees. There was one on international relations, international affairs, and the other one on AU affairs. I worked more with international affairs, and there was another colleague of mine who was working on AU affairs. But sometimes we tended to, you know, cross-pollinate and deal with other issues. So there was no really a distinction between international affairs and AU affairs. At the end of the day, it was international relations. So in terms of the five-year review and the briefing itself, I was thinking to myself before I came here as to whether should I go through the thick report that I produced, or should I perhaps go through a shortcut and then deal with some of the, I would say, some of the highlights, the more pressing issues. Because I think if I were to go through the report itself, it's about 27 pages. It's a very thick report. We'll be here for a very long time. So I thought, let me just go through the presentation and just highlight the more critical issues. During the five-year period of the last term, the department set a number of objectives for itself, and these include the consolidation of the African agenda, strengthening South-South relations, enhancing the North-South dialogue, engaging in the transformation of global governance, and strengthening bilateral relations. Now, in terms of oversight, the committee dealt at length with a number of issues. In terms of the new partnership for Africa's development, NEPAD, the committee looked into issues such as the integration of NEPAD into AU structure, since it was a decision that was adopted by the AU that NEPAD should be more integrated into the AU structure, since it was removed. Must remember that the secretariat of NEPAD was located in Midrand, and there seemed to have been this cleavage, this divide. So the AU took a decision to integrate NEPAD into the AU structures, so that the AU can have much more ownership of the initiative. And then another issue that has to do with NEPAD is engaging the North as well as the South on various issues of partnerships. That goes back to North-South dialogue and South-South relations. And then another issue involved promoting the African peer review mechanism. And that initiative has to do with issues of compliance to various aspects, such as good governance, political accountability, and respect for human rights, since it has been recognized that these issues are very critical to ensuring that there is stability on the African continent. And once one has stability, then it's much easier to work on issues of promoting economic growth and development. And then another oversight issue related to NEPAD is the strengthening of AU structures. And that work has involved the support to the Pan-African Parliament in terms of technical issues and logistical issues. South Africa has taken much of the responsibility on that, especially financial-wise. And then other work has involved the harmonization and regionalization of the regional economic communities. Since there is a project or a process to have the African Economic Community within the 15 years time, and in terms of the African economic community, and the process, the way it was supposed to go, you find that the Pan African Parliament was actually supposed to come last into the whole process, but I think through a vision, the continent's leaders realized that you need to give this structure some time to actually, so that you can understand what its purpose is, what it has to do. Some of the functions need to be aligned, and since it's intended to be a legislative institution, it's best that it be institutionalized so that we can get it working and work on some of the challenges that emanate along the way. And hence, we have the Pan-African Parliament has been established quite early on in the process. And then other work has involved the development of the continent's peace and security structures. That refers, for South Africa in particular, that refers to the African the ASF, as well as the SADC Brigade. So some of these structures are yet to be in operation. The SADC Brigade is already in operation. Perhaps some of its aspects, especially in terms of finances, that need to be looked into to make sure that it can undertake and peace and security work within the SADC region. And then other work has involved establishing the African Court of Justice, as well as the African Court of Human and People's Rights. In terms of peace and security issues that have been looked into, the Zimbabwe political and economic crisis has taken much of the attention of the committee throughout medium-term strategic framework period, which is the five-year period of the last parliament and the government. And another issue that has taken attention of the committee is the issue of Somalia. Other issues involve the Democratic Republic of Congo, the capacity building project in the South Sudan, and consolidating the comprehensive peace agreement of Sudan, as well as resolving the full conflict. And other issues involved Burundi, consolidating the peace there, Cote d'Ivoire, ensuring that there's a return to constitutional governance, and Comoros as well. And then there's been the issue of Western Sahara. Another issue is the Middle East peace process, as well as the issue of nuclear disarmament, as well as the Iran nuclear power debacle, which it seems like it's reaching crisis proportions because of the threats that have been made by the United States as well as Israel to showing their readiness to engage Iran in a confrontation so that it can stop its nuclear development program. And then another issue of oversight for the committee has been over one entity of the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, which is the African Renaissance and International Cooperation Fund. This facility has dealt with a number of issues, including capacity building and development throughout Africa, and support for security sector reform, as well as disarmament, demobilization, and reintegration. And another issue that it has dealt with is the engagement with the diaspora in order for them to participate in development on the continent. And then other issues involve economic issues. And these involve the economic partnership agreements with the EU, the WTO development round, where South Africa has been aiming to achieve developmental outcomes instead of just reaching an agreement and hoping that at some point the benefits will accrue for developing countries. Because, I mean, the engagement in that is basically guided by the consolidation of the African agenda objective. And then South Africa has also been involved in free trade agreements and strengthening relations among SACU members, especially considering that the economic partnership agreements of late, they have tended to cause tensions among members of SACU, and there's been a need to actually strengthen that relationship instead of abandoning the customs union, because it's quite important that countries within the region move together in terms of development of the sub-region. And then there's been engagement as well with the G8 plus 5. There's been also the IPSA, TICAD, that's an initiative involving Japan, the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development, as well as the New Asia Strategic, New Africa Asia Strategic Partnership. And then in terms of political issues, the committee has dealt with the issue of the transformation of global governments, that particularly involving the transformation of the UN, particularly the United Nations Security Council, in order to democratize that institution and make sure that power devolves to some of the less powerful states. And there's also been engagement actively in the Middle East peace process.
My apologies. Can I just interrupt you? Can I just check how long you're going to be? The reason for that is because some members want to leave before 12 because of other commitments. But there is some information which I would love to communicate to them before they leave. In relation to the other item, how long are you going to be?
I think another 3-4 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just finish up. Yes.
Chair, is it possible that Paul can give us his presentation? Because it's a summary of this, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, the summary of the document.
Make it available to us.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I will urge the members, maybe after 15 minutes, I think we'll be done. Yes. Can you just summarize it?
Yes, and then another issue of that the committee has dealt with is the issue of addressing racism and xenophobia. Now, in terms of the budget, which is a critical oversight issue, one can see that most of the programs over the period, over the 5-year period, have received increases to their budget. And in particular, the international transfers program, as well as the administration programs, have received substantial increases with a real increase of about 122% for administration and 144% for international transfers. And the reason for that has been that administration has engaged in a number of issues, including establishing missions abroad, catering for the Pan-African Parliament, as well as establishing the campus project, the new head office project for the department. And then international transfers, that has been more about supporting peace and security initiatives in Africa. And then foreign relations has had a steady increase in its budget, and nothing really significant. But basically, there's not been any substantive changes, and that's why the budget there has just been increasing just to correlate with inflation. But however, the budget for public diplomacy and protocol has seen a decrease. And I think that is a critical issue that needs to be looked at in the years going forward, because there has been an issue about the department not being able to communicate issues of foreign policy, especially to the public. And there's also the issue of communicating foreign policy with other countries as well, so that people can understand that South Africa does not have hegemonic ambitions, and so that they get to understand what the issue of the consolidation of African agenda, what it is about. And if the program is suffering from a lack of a sufficient budget, that means some of the work cannot be carried out, and we'll continue to receive complaints about the department taking certain decisions and not being able to account as to how come they've taken those decisions. And then in terms of the Auditor General reports, there's been a focus on certain challenges, and some of those involve intergovernmental transfers whereby certain amounts have disappeared, amounts that were always, that had been owed to the department. But unfortunately, the department could not recoup those funds because there was no supporting documentation for that expenditure, and hence it had to forfeit. And then another issue is mission accounts, the issue of vireme. And when we talk about vireme, we are talking about when expenditure is spent on items that do not correspond to the line item. So say, for instance, there is money for human resources, but you find that the money is spent on entertainment simply because the money for entertainment has been exhausted. So that has been an issue that has been looked into, particularly by SCOPA. And then there's also the issue of human resource management, because over the years, the department has had a lot of vacancies, and that has been a concern in terms of how the department will be able to make sure that it achieves its objectives when it is lacking in sufficient capacity. And then another issue has been the issue of quarterly reporting, because the department has tended to report on a yearly basis, whereas the recommendation, particularly from National Treasury, is that also in terms of the PMFA Act, the department is supposed to be reporting on a quarterly basis. And then issues for of consideration, like I said, issue of public diplomacy, the issue of cooperation between government and civil society on fighting xenophobia, and projecting a positive image of South Africa, because the xenophobic attacks obviously have a detrimental effect on the image of the country and its engagement in Africa. That's something that needs to be looked into. And there's also the issue of monitoring the activities of South African companies abroad, because there have been many allegations that South African companies are actually violating the labor rights of people on the continent. So there's been the issue of needing to put together a set of regulations that South African companies must observe when they conduct their activities within the continent. And then other issues involve the AU affairs and issues of integration, and those include enhancing the capacity of SADC, because currently that process has been very slow. That's something that really needs to be looked into. And then, like I said before, the issue of strengthening the relationship with SACO members. There's the issue of support to the Pan-African Parliament and establishing a regional parliament, because there was a recommendation in the last term that the SADC parliamentary forum should be transformed into a regional parliament, so that some of the issues that SACO has to deal with, the issues of free trade agreements, can actually be legislated by a regional parliament, and that parliament can also conduct oversight on those issues. And then there's also the issue of establishing free trade in Africa, because there's a problem in terms of connectivity amongst African countries. There's a whole lot of talk about free trade, but there is really no free trade. Instead, we find that most of the members still have greater trade relations with the former colonizers, so to say. And then there's the issue of, like I said, the issue of enhancing connectivity. and reviewing migration laws. And then to close, there's also the issue of peace and security issues. The committee needs to look into the issue of deployment of peace missions, the usage of funds for security sector reform, demobilization, disarmament, and reintegration, as well as development assistance provided through the African Renaissance Fund. That's something that needs to be looked into. And then the issue of enhanced interdepartmental coordination also needs to be looked into, and closer collaboration with international organizations and agencies involved in development. And then, as stated before, there's the issue of economic partnership agreements, the WTO development round, the economic status issue. Just to close on this one, the economic status issue concerns the issue of South Africa being classified as a developing country in terms of trade relations. And that is a problem when engaging with economic partnership agreements as well as the WTO, because when countries have to eliminate tariffs, South Africa is put on a schedule that is similar to industrialized developed countries, and that is the problem when you're talking about regional integration and enhancing trade with other developing countries, because now what it means is that South Africa has to reduce its tariffs substantially, which could cause a flood of cheap products into the country and then harm regional trade. And then there's also the issue of new generation issues of services, government procurement, competition policy, which most of the developing countries are not ready to engage in. And that is an issue that South Africa has been pushing, that developing countries should not be pressured to engage on these issues. Instead, those are issues that should be negotiated on a bilateral basis instead of being forced for members to adopt at the WTO as well as through economic partnership agreements. And that's where I will end it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This is very helpful. We're not going to discuss this because we have a workshop, but this is for the purposes of continuity, as is put in the letter which was written to us by the chair of chairs, that we should deal with these legacy reports for the sake of continuity and effectiveness, and so that we can be able to see what are the issues which need follow-up. So it's linked to the previous report. We will just note that because we'll take further discussion. Can we step off this item? Thank you very much, Mpo. And I think colleagues would be able to look into this matter, including these issues of the WTO, Mpo, because my background, where I'm coming from the labor movement, when we're talking about tariffs, we're persuaded with this gradualistic approach on tariffs. But what we saw was not a gradual going down, but it was just a drop or a fall. To no tariffs at all. We don't agree with that. Okay. But let's go to number four. The orientation workshop. Can we ask you, Mulelwa, to just quickly talk to this, distribute the documents and quickly talk to this. The workshop, it's an orientation workshop, which will start making us to say what are we doing? What are we supposed to be doing? And we have invited some people to be part of that workshop. But it's separate from a strategic planning meeting, which is still coming immediately after the workshop. And we were supposed to have a meeting of the chairs and whips we're supposed to have a meeting of the chairs on the 4th, which would be in preparation for all these meetings which we're going to be having. But unfortunately, because the programs, they keep on changing. Things keep on changing. Now, this has to come now prior to that meeting, because the meeting has been postponed now of the chair to when? On the way to the 13th, am I right? Yes. But there's no way that we can postpone this workshop. Because if we postpone this workshop, we are supposed to be making a submission by the 28th. Am I right? Yes. By the 28th, we must have made a submission. But talk quickly. I'll give you 3 minutes to talk to the logistics of it. Yes, sir.
Before she does that, can we get the clarity on the date? Because the agenda says 11 to 12, but the program here says 12 to 13.
Yes. Yes, she will clarify that. She will clarify that.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Chair. In terms of the logistics of the workshop, honorable members, the workshop will take place on the 10th and 11th, that is next week, Tuesday and 13th. Tuesday and Wednesday, next week.
At 11 and 12.
11 and 12. Yeah, 11 and 12. The workshop will be outside Parliament in Kwantu Guest Lodge in Milnerton. We have found the venue in Milnerton, Kwantu Guest Lodge. The members will depart on the morning of the 11th, that is on Tuesday morning. There will be transport in Parliament to take members to the guest house. It will be leaving Parliament at 8 because we're supposed to start at 9 with our workshop. Then we sleep over on the 11th, that is on Tuesday. We'll be sleeping over there. Then we continue the workshop on the 12th, and then we come back on the 12th. That is, it's going to be the 2 days, the 11th and the 12th.
Then, okay. Mel, who deals with the content, will speak to the program. We are told it's habitable. Some committees are there now.
Thank you, Chair. I think at the onset I should mention that the orientation workshop is yet another step. In fact, what we have today, the presentation on the 5-year review and the legacy report.
Are you ready to leave now? No. Okay. Give us just 5 minutes, because the last one is also very important for all of us. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. I was just explaining that it's a series of meetings which we are going to have towards building up our strategic planning session. So today is the first step where we get the history of what the third parliament has been doing, and then the orientation workshop will give the department an opportunity to brief us on the current issues in foreign policy. So the whole three workshops, and then the following week, as Chairperson will explain, will be the strategic planning session itself, where now we are going to be drawing our own program from the information that we would have gathered from these two sessions that we're going to have. So on the 11th, in accordance with the program that we have invited the department to brief us on the current issues under foreign policy, and also we hope they will also be relating the current issues which they're going to be expounding on to national priorities, and then also show the members how the indigenous priority areas are going to be spread out throughout the next 5 years. So we have listed for them seven objectives, under which we expect them to have papers or presentations to brief the committee. So under objective one, which appears in the program from 9:30 to 12:30, it's objective one to objective four. Objective one basically is on the overview of the foreign policy, and also they are going to be explaining the recent policy announcements which the department made relating to what the chairperson already alluded to. One of the things is the question of Myanmar, the question of Zimbabwe, the question of the ICC, and some other issues which have come up recently, which we think the committee needs to address as quickly as possible. So that will come up in the first objective of the conference. Then the second objective relates to the consolidation of the African agenda. As we know that the department has made this issue its priority over the years, but we expect them to have changes in strategy towards achieving this agenda each year that they work on it. So we would like them to present to the committee what strategies they have for the next 5 years in order to achieve this objective, which involves resolution of conflict, peace building, and recovery in Africa specifically and the world at large. So we expect them to also elaborate on project areas which the fund is working at the moment and successes and challenges that they have met while they were working under this program. So that will be under objective two. Objective three is going to deal with the South-South relations, cooperation, which South Africa has with the rest of other countries under this category. So we expect them to elaborate more on the future programs which they intend having under this setup, and then also how they are going to prioritize their strategies, I mean their activities towards achieving what's the grouping has set ourselves to do. So we also remember that under this same topic of South-South, there are issues which have been on the agenda for some time, and South Africa recently has not been actually in the positions of influence in some of these organizations relating to South-South. So how are they going to continue to influence the decisions taken under this category of nations? The fourth objective is going to deal with the North-South relation, which, as we know, that South Africa has continued to forge ahead. Developmental partnerships with the North, and also the issues which have already been highlighted relating to the recent economic partnership agreements which have been signed. So how is the department going to, to take the issue forward? What are their strategies in dealing with this while they also should promote harmonization within SACU? So all these issues we expect them to talk to under Objective 4. And then Objective 5 relates to the global political and socioeconomic stability and security within the multilateral system. As we know that South Africa has been very active in the global system of governance, and issues there range from development, security, human rights, international law, all those issues, they have to talk to us about them. And especially currently, now that this committee really wants to focus on international agreements, how they are negotiated, how they are ratified, and their implementation record, so that the committee is well briefed on the activities of the department in relation to international treaties. So that will also come up under Objective 5. And then Objective 6, Chairperson, is dealing with strengthening of political and economic relations initiatives across the world. As we know that South Africa has opened missions in a number of countries, and we expect the department to expound on the reasons why the missions were opened and the benefits that accrue from diplomatic relations of those countries. And I'm almost through. And then there's also the issue on the National Treasury, which is Objective 8, because National Treasury allocates budget to departments. So we would like them to come and brief the committee on how these allocations are done. And also there is a monitoring and evaluation system which they do on a monthly basis on each department. So that we would like them to come and brief the committee on how they carry on such monitoring and evaluation. And then lastly, it will be the Office of the Auditor General, which from time to time audits the work of government departments. So we'd like them to brief the committee in relation to the department, the Department of Foreign Affairs, on international relations, how this is done, and what it means by qualified or unqualified audit reports that are issued each year. And lastly, Chairperson, after this workshop, if we had time on the same day, then we'll jump to the strategic planning session. But this one will be coming afterwards, which will now do a SWOT analysis on the issues, and the committee will decide on which ones are the priority and which ones they would like to start with. But in a nutshell, this is what is going to happen on the with the orientation workshop. Thank you.
This is more of information. If there are very strong recommendations, they can be directed to me or the secretary on how to run it. And there's the last point that I know that there are presenters which have been organized from outside government, some experts, but can you say something about that?
The experts we have invited, they have confirmed. It's just that we still have one more to confirm. But there will be three experts which are going to be presenting on the second day to assist the committee to critically look at the presentations made by by the department, also analyze some of the topics that the committee is going to be dealing with, so that it, their analysis will help the committee to shape up an oversight mechanism over and above what the department would have said. Thank you, Chair.
The intention of the last person is not to listen just to ourselves. Let's hear somebody else. Not that we will take what that somebody says, but let's hear an outside voice just critiquing us. That's it. Can you just on the record indicate?
So far we have Tom Wheeler, who is now the Senior Research Fellow for the South African International Institute of International Affairs, but he's also working with the University of Johannesburg. Then we have Catherine Truman, who works with SAIA here in Cape Town, and George Luanda, who is working with Accord based in Durban. Then there is another gentleman, Vasu. Mm-hmm. I hear he's been with the committee before. So if he comes, we will substitute Tom Wheeler with Vasu, because Vasu's topic is more or less relevant to the orientation than Wheeler's.
I want to jump to the last one, because this is more of information. Number B, the meeting with the heads of missions. There is a letter which have you distributed, or is it with me? Where is it? Oh, yes, this is the one. This letter comes from the minister who was responding to our portfolio committee, indicating that there's a conference on the 13th and the 14th of August, hosted by the Department of International Relations and Cooperation with the heads of the mission. So they call it the Heads of the Missions Conference. It will assist our ambassadors and high commissioners to comprehend the strategic direction and imperatives of our department and our government. And I had discussed with the DG, it says, I understand you have discussed with the DG the conflict that our dates pose for your own orientation workshop. Then that's when we came with this thing of the adjusting the dates. That's why there was a confusion with that. Because they were insisting that they've already booked tickets internationally and so on, so let us be flexible. Then the important paragraph is the one which says, in view of the above, I would be very grateful if the chair and members of the portfolio committee could accept the invitation to the above-mentioned conference, particularly in the light of the fact that the dates have been fixed with due consideration to the program of the president. I understand that the president will also be addressing that particular conference. The conference is at Sanchin, but there will be details we'll be working on. What do we need from the members? I've discussed the matter with the staff. We looked into the various options. The funding has been a difficult issue when we look at our budget and so on. We had an option. But after looking at all the options, the most viable option is an option which says, let's ask the members to use their tickets. This is a very important day workshop. But we are negotiating accommodation, that the department pays for accommodation. because they couldn't pay for our tickets. They were saying, you're talking 14 this side, 11 from the NCOP. We can't afford those people. But we think that for the first time for the new committee to interact with those ambassadors and heads of mission, it's very important. And I think that's where the ministers come. And the issue to be discussed there. And I understand that according to the agenda, the first part will just be dedicated to the issues of the African agenda, what it means, and looking into the institutions we have and so on. And all these issues we've been talking about are going to emerge. So I'm urging them, that's the recommendation I'm putting to the committee, that members who can afford using their own tickets, and I guess all members can afford, should go into this meeting. Then we negotiate accommodation. That's what we are doing. So we put in that those names, us were supposed to have sent them yesterday, but we could not because we wanted to wait for this particular meeting. So that is why I was feeling a bit hazy about this one and urging the two honourable members from TA. I mean, one who wanted to say, hang on for this item. Thank you. That's the response is, Babu Skosa, were you wanting to respond? I see Gerard, I see Ntate Mukhala by this time. No, your hand was up. Your hand was up. No. Kanzalagan. Okay. Honorable move.
I think so. Chair, you said you're going to give us the details later of the workshop. I mean the conference. I'm looking at the logistics of the travel from the workshop, the orientation workshop. And the following day, the conference on the 13th. I think there should be some kind of flexibility on that because I see the workshop program goes until 5 o'clock. If people have to jump on the plane to go to Johannesburg, they don't want to arrive in Johannesburg very late. So maybe I'm just advising that maybe logistically that should be looked at.
In fact, talking to the department. As a compromise, they were wanting to give us a night, one night, instead of two. So which means they would expect us on the 13th in the morning. Must just be ready to fly in the morning. Unless you're ready to use your own accommodation on the 12th. They will accommodate us on the 13th, because they are starting on the 13th in the morning. So that's that part. But I think you practically say, if people are to go there, we can't go until very late on the top. That's practical. We will look into that. It means we must also not be late on the 11th. If we leave at 8, at 8 we must leave.
Thank you for arranging this and putting it on the agenda. I think it's the first time, I think, this committee will engage with the heads of mission, and I think we should grab the opportunity. Let's use the tickets, let's use the logistics accordingly to stay one night. I think we need to thank you and the committee and the secretary for arranging this. And I think we must grab it with both hands to make an input there. Thank you.
We also think that it's going to help a lot on the strategic session which we're going to have. Mabusko-san?
Okay. I agree with my colleague here. My question is, if we start on the 13th there, if we fly in the morning here, would there be any shuttle there in the morning? Let's say if it goes, it's going to send in on the 13th morning.
We will make sure that in terms of the logistics, there is. Okay. Yes, that was.
And the accommodation will be in send in.
Yes. Yes. Who's controlling the budget? Who's controlling the budget of the? Of the committee, is it the committee itself? Oh, it's not the committee. If it was the committee, I would be deciding. Okay.
Chairperson, like I said, I agree with what the colleagues have said. I think it's a huge opportunity and it's the first time and must make use of it.
I also understand the circumstances that it has come at a bit of a short notice. So, unfortunately, I have to apologize for the meeting in Johannesburg. I wasn't able to attend that, but I know that the colleagues will do the best. Thank you.
No, it's well understood, Honorable Dr. Mulder. Colleagues, the last item, which I said as a briefing, it's the topical issue of the AU declaration, and in particular the issue of the warrant of President al-Bashir. Yes, you can distribute that. Just briefly, you will read on your own. This is from the briefing notes of DICO to the media. And in particular, go to page, I don't understand this thing with DICO. And it's the record of the discussion, page 123. It's very important that, unfortunately, when we deal with the African agenda next week, this will be one of the issues which I think would receive some attention. But briefly, on page 3, you look at the at the top there. It talks about the Sudan and the ICC. Briefly, what the department was reporting was to say, in terms of the AU mission, there were two schools of thought. There was an argument to say, do not cooperate with this particular arrest. But there was a school of thought which was saying, which is countering that particular view, saying, if you do reject this, by implication, you would be endorsing the violation, this gross human rights violation. Because there is a perception from some analysts that those who are currently in the ICC are only African. The record of the ICC is not very good. And people felt that there is some targeting. And people keep on also raising how the Americans declare war in Iraq against the will of everybody. But key to the approach was to say, how do you find a balance? And what was a main argument from some of the parties who were saying reject the arrest was to say, al-Bashir is a leader of a political party. There are people who are believing in him. And in the process of trying to find a solution, if you remove him by arrest now, won't you be throwing that country into further chaos if you arrest now? Will the arrest resolve the political question? Because all that comes, violations and everything, are as a result of lack of a political resolution. So it was a question of the politics and the legalities here. How do you manage that particular process? So what they did was to say the Security Council has come up with, and this was a compromise position apparently, to call for a deferment of the arrest, not a cancellation of the arrest, a deferment. Because even the Rome Statute, the ICC is based on Article 16, they do have such a leverage where you can be able not to effect a particular, given particular condition. So Article 16 does give them some form of a leverage to do that. Then the African Union had put a high-level panel of heads of state small panel to interact with the United Nations Security Council and put the logic of why they think that the arrest can exacerbate the situation currently. And therefore a deferment, and that deferment would be a deferment for a period, I think, of about until January next year, where they are expecting a report from this eminent persons group, which is led by the former president of South Africa, to look into a number of issues. And you will see that on page, on which page, by the way? But it's if you read that whole report, the AU grouping, which is led by the former president Mbeki, would undertake an in-depth examination of the Darfur situation and develop a roadmap towards combating impunity on one hand and the reconciliation and the healing on the other. And the issue, therefore, is to say, until that eminent persons group reports in September, because it's supposed to report in September, can we wait for the report and see what comes out of that? Because you can arrest, you have not resolved the situation. The situation becomes worse. And when you want to deal with that issue extensively or comprehensively, you need all the political parties, including Basir, with a support. And the people, I believe, in the South are feeling otherwise towards Basir, different from the people in the North. So it's a very complex situation. It's not just a straightforward situation. That is why some of you, but I was speaking there as an ANC MP who's participating on international issues. I was on this judge for yourself from Judge Dennis Davis. That is why I even made an example to say, in South Africa, apartheid had been declared as crime against humanity. According to many international people, you should have arrested a lot of people who were at the helm. But would that resolve the situation? It would not put us where we are. You'd remember some people arguing about that we must arrest some of the generals who were responsible for whatever and so on. You can mention people who were heavily implicated in worse human rights violations in apartheid. And some of the people were accused even from the side of the liberation movement that they also violated the human rights. Then would the arrest at that particular time help us? But we said you needed peace, but without sweeping things under the carpet, but agree on a particular process which you must follow in terms of dealing with the human rights violations. That's what informed, apparently, the South African situation to say would need to move along those particular lines, which was making sense. How do you balance then the issues of right, impunity, and the issues of peace whenever there's that chaos, a conflict? Because what you want to do is to resolve the conflict. It's not just about removing certain people. You can remove those people, and the conflict becomes worse. So I thought that this was very informative. So it might be good that honorable members read this matter on their own. But I thought that some of you might have seen me on television. They would say, what the hell, what business were you doing there? What were you articulating? That's what I was trying to articulate. But I had to do a lot of consultation, listen to a lot of people, their different views, and say, as the parliament, of course, from the perspective of the ANC, we will definitely support anything which brings about a political solution and a resolution and a permanent solution. Because sometimes just an ordinary arrest doesn't bring, it might be a temporal relief on one side. So, and given our history as South Africa, that we're coming from more or less the same history of the conflict and how we dealt with it, which is dubbed a miracle today. But it's more of information. Read it for yourself, because it's a very topical debate. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we should also look at the Liberia Charles Taylor case also, because you could see what happened in Liberia and when was Charles Taylor then arrested at some point. That there were steps taken to make sure that the situation in Liberia is not volatile. Because he had support in Liberia. They couldn't, the analogy that you're bringing up hold on to Liberia and Charlestown.
I see Dr. Mulder firmly agreeing with this. Thank you very much. Colleagues, we've come to the end of this session today. Let me take this opportunity to thank all the members, the honorable members, and also the staff members for the presentations they've given us. And bit by bit, biggie Magbaya, bit by bit, we'll be there. It's clear that we'll be there and we'll be able to grapple with the issues. Thank you very much. We stand adjourned.